Well, we're in the first letter of John, chapter 2, and it's in this chapter we see the word Antichrist. Such an interesting word, and one that has evoked all sorts of thoughts about all sorts of things, but it's a much more down-to-earth meaning than you think. It's also a sadder meaning, I feel. Let's read. My little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a counselor with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only ours, for the whole world. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. One who says, I know him, and doesn't keep his commands is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. But God's love has most certainly been perfected in whoever keeps his word. This is how we know that we are in him. He who says he remains in him ought himself to walk just like he walked. Brothers, I write no new commandment to you, but an old command which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, I write a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light already shines. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness, even now. He who loves his brother remains in the light, and there is no occasion for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, little children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God remains in you. And you have overcome the evil one. Don't love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the Father's love isn't in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, isn't the Father's, but the world's. And the world is passing away with its lusts, but he who does the will of God will last forever. Little children, these are the end times. And, as you heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have arisen. By this we know that it is the final hour. They went out from us, but they didn't belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have continued with us. But they left, that they might be revealed that none of them belonged to us. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you have knowledge. But I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son doesn't have the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father too. Therefore, as for you, let that remain in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning remains in you, you will remain in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he organized, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who would lead you astray. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it taught you, it will remain in you. Now, little children, remain in him, that when he appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. All right. I love it. I love these letters of John, they're so great. I just like John in general. It's not that I don't like the whole Bible, I do. But there's something about John. And there's a few bits that are definitely worth pointing out in this chapter. I mentioned in the last chapter that this letter is written in the 60s. It's not written in the 90s, like lots of people think. It's written in the 60s, and it's written at the time when Jewish people who didn't accept Jesus were attacking and persecuting the Jews that had accepted Jesus. And not only them, they're attacking Christians that, you know, Gentiles that had accepted Jesus too. They were against Jesus, or against Christ, you could say. And when Jesus came, when Jesus walked on earth, he said, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. And he said, brother will fight against brother, and houses will be divided. And he said, mother will be against daughter, and father will be against son. Well, Jesus said this. And what he was speaking of was a time after he died and rose again and went to heaven, when there was this like civil war, you could call it, in Judaism. And it only lasted for 4 decades, but it was this split in Judaism where one Jewish group that didn't accept Jesus was attacking and persecuting the other. Now, the other group didn't attack and persecute back, but they were trying to kind of withstand the onslaught, you could say. And this is the brother against brother, this that's mentioned here. Now, John says, he who is in the light, he who says he is in the light but hates his brother is in the darkness. Now, who was that? These were the Jewish people who believed in God. They said they had the light. They said they had the knowledge of the truth, but they were attacking their brother, their fellow Jew, and they were hating them. And John is saying that if someone says he's in the light but he's attacking his brother, he's not in the light, he's in the dark. And it says here, he who loves his brother remains in the light. So if you were a Jew who'd accepted Christ, you must love your brother. Now that means your Jewish brother that hasn't accepted Christ. In other words, you're being attacked by people that are Jewish, but they haven't accepted Jesus, but you need to love them, and it's hard to do. You need to remain in the light, remain in Christ. Don't be tempted to leave Christ and go back to Judaism without Jesus, because that was a real temptation. If you did that, the persecution would stop. And but John says, he who loves his brother remains in the light, and there'll be no stumbling there. But he said, he who hates his brother is in the dark and walks in the dark and doesn't know where he's going and has been blinded. So John's being very clear. If you've got Jesus, you've got the light. Remain in the light. And then, I might skip this next little bit, come back to it. Let's go down to verse 18, where he says some super interesting stuff. He says, little children, these are the end times. Now, if you thought that the end times are now, that we're living in now, it's been 2,000 years. No, John said 2,000 years ago that these were the end times. The end times of what? The end times of the Old Covenant. The time when the Old Covenant was wrapping up and Jesus had instituted the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was like this and the New Covenant was like this, and there's this little overlap period which is called the ends of the age or the ends of the ages. Sometimes it's just called the end of the age, which is the end of the Old Covenant. Sometimes it's called the last, or the end times, it's called here. And John says that these are the end times. This is that period of time that Jesus spoke about. This is that generation after Jesus went up to heaven. This is the time of all that trouble. And he said, and you have heard the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have arisen. And this is how we know it's the final hour. Not the final hour of the world, no, the final hours of the Old Covenant. And there were many antichrists because those Jewish people that had rejected Jesus were rejecting Jesus. They were rejecting the Christ. They were antichrist. They were anti to the Christ. And John says here, there were many of them. And it says here in verse 19, it says, they went out from us, but they didn't belong to us. For if they had belonged with us, they would have remained. But they left and revealed that they did not belong to us. In other words, these were people that were Jewish. They were connected with it. Some of them were even in the church. But they went out from the church because they rejected Christ. They either clung to Judaism as they knew it in the beginning without Jesus, or they went back to it and they persecuted Christ and persecuted Christ's people. Think about Paul on the road to Damascus. He was one of the people that used to do this. Jesus said to him, Acts chapter 9, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Well, see, Saul was like an antichrist until he got saved. And, well, there were plenty of others. But John says they went out from us. They didn't belong to us. People that were opposed to Jesus. We go down a little bit further. It says, verse 22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Well, it was those Jewish people that didn't accept Jesus. They denied that Jesus was the Christ. They just said, no, there are other Christ. The Christ hasn't come yet. That's what they were saying. They denied Jesus is the Christ. And John says here, this is the Antichrist. He who denies Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son, says John, does not have the Father. So very clear. if you were accepting God only but not Jesus, according to John, you're not saved and you don't even have God. You're not even in truth. Even if you believe in God but reject Jesus, John says, you do not have the Father. And then the very next verse, he says to those Christians, he says, as for you, remain in him that you heard from the beginning. Well, who's the one you heard from the beginning? Jesus. So we're going to finish with going back to the verses right in the middle. In the middle, we've got this interesting, cool thing. He says, I write to you little children, and he says something. He says, I write to you fathers, and he says something. And I write to you young men, and he says something. And then he repeats that twice. We've got this cool little thing. Now pay attention. He says, I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. All right, so little children, they're the people who've just gotten saved. They're new in the faith. They're beginning in the Lord. And he says, you're forgiven. Then he says, I write to you fathers because you've known him who is from the beginning. Who's that? Jesus. Jesus is the one who is from the beginning. We know that because right at the first of this letter, that's the words that John uses to introduce Jesus. He says, chapter 1, well, I won't go into it. He says, this who is from the beginning, this which we've seen with our eyes and heard with our ears, this we proclaim to you, Jesus Christ. So, he says, I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning, Jesus Christ. So the experienced men of the faith knew Jesus. So we're not talking about Jewish people that didn't accept Jesus. We're talking about Jewish people who knew the Lord. And then he says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. So you've got these three categories, you know, children, new believers, young men who have overcome sin, and then fathers who have known the Lord. And that's our progress in faith. We get saved, we're forgiven, but as we grow, we overcome sin, and you don't do it in your own strength. And then we get to the place where we know Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for this chapter of the Bible. I ask that, Lord, the meaning of these things would rest in our heart and change us. Amen.